Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. That is Psalm 27:10, the life verse for our special guest today. I'm so glad you're joining us for episode 234 of the Orphans No More podcast. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. We love hearing from our listeners, so please let us know what you think, how you've been encouraged by this show, and what you would like to hear in the future. Contact us via our social media at Justice for Orphans, our website, justicefororphansny.org, or you can email me directly at sandraflackjfo@gmail.com. Often on Orphans No More, I get to interview amazing foster and adoptive parents and adult adoptees. I love sharing their stories of redemption on this podcast. They are all God's stories for His glory, but each one of us is an orphan until we're adopted into God's family. Romans 8:15 says, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba Father." So today, our guest is a child of God, adopted into His family. Tanya Glansman is a counselor, speaker, and author. She's just released her new book, My Father's Daughter. Tanya's mission is to bring hope, encouragement, and truth into the life of each woman touched by helping them understand the absolute life-transforming power that comes with being their father's daughter. Please welcome to the show, Tanya Glansman. Hey, Tanya.
Hey, Sandra. So glad to be here today.
I am thrilled to have you on the show. I had the privilege to hear you share your story at the Speak Up Conference for writers and speakers. And I heard your incredible testimony, and I knew right away I wanted my listeners to be able to hear you too and be inspired by your story. So thank you for saying yes and being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's an honor, and I would love for you to start out by sharing the story of your childhood with our listeners, whatever you feel comfortable sharing.
Absolutely. So between the ages of 2 and 14 and a half, I was sexually, spiritually, emotionally, and verbally abused by 7 different men. I was actually the daughter of a drug addict and an alcoholic. And at 2.5 years old, my mother walked in and found my father molesting me, and she put a gun to his head and told him to get out and never return. And then I was the daughter of a single mama who was a drug addict and an alcoholic. And, you know, until I was 10 years old, I lived with my mother, and that was a very difficult life. She was, you know, doing the best she could with what she knew and what she had. But unfortunately, the places in her life where she remained unhealed and wounded inflicted pain and trauma in my life in very real ways. And when I was 10 years old, and actually, Sandra, I didn't go into all of this in my time speaking at Speak Up, but when I was 10 years old, my mother gave me to my grandfather, who was the very man that had molested her when she was a little girl. Mm. And so from the age of 10 to 14 and a half, I was molested by my grandfather. My mother got remarried and moved out of the country and had another little girl. And I lived with my grandparents and became victim to my grandfather, who, when I told that he was molesting me at the age of 14, when I was a freshman in high school, he actually took his life 10 days later.
Wow.
And the remainder of my high school years were spent in turmoil. I was a hot mess in all the ways, and you know, struggled with depression and anxiety and a low self-esteem. I was a cutter. I was suicidal. I was diagnosed with a personality disorder. I was hospitalized in several different facilities for those who struggled with mental health issues. And I had a really hard time just contending with the damage that had been done to me by all of the people that were supposed to have been loving and trustworthy and should have been taking care of me instead of hurting me.
Wow. So you landed in a kinship situation with your grandparents. You were never in foster care or anything like that.
It's true. I think had the right people have known the situations that I was exposed to and left to, I would have been removed from the home, but those people never knew. And so I was never rescued from what I was left in.
Wow. Oh, heartbreaking. Were there ever, Tanya, were there ever any adults who did make a positive difference in your life?
Absolutely, there were. In fact, you know, my safe haven became school because when I was at school, nobody was touching me or beating me or hurting me in any way. And I was so hungry for love and approval and acceptance that I threw trying to please and earn, I sought out the love and attention of my teachers. And throughout the years, there are several very specific individuals that Jesus shined his light through them into my life to remind me in big ways and small that I was seen and known and loved by him. And I actually, in my acknowledgments for my book, two of the people that I acknowledged were people that God had placed in my life through being teachers at my school that made a very positive difference in the life of a very hurting, wounded, lonely little girl.
I love to hear that. I know I've heard an adult speaker, his name escapes me at the moment, but he grew up in foster care, and he said something like, every kid is just one caring adult away from success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that investing in the lives of children, and it doesn't have to be through adoption or foster care, but in any way that we're able to really invest in the lives of children. And like you said, shine the light of Christ into their lives in some way. That leads me to my next question. At what point in your life did you come to know the Lord?
When I was 16 years old, when I share my story from a platform, I tease that, my mother was searching for love in all the wrong places. And part of her trying to fill the hole in her heart that was gaping was she looked to religion to try to help her feel better. And so while I was a child, I was baptized Mormon, I was baptized Jehovah's Witness, and I was baptized Catholic. So my little joke from the platform is, so whoever's right, I'm covered, but I teach. I became baptized as a daughter of the King of my own free will when I was a young adult in my 20s, and having accepted Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior. That actually happened when I was 16. I went to a high school in Texas, and at that time in Texas, I don't know how it runs now, but they allowed us to have a Bible club, and we had a local Young Life leader come into our high school and speak at our Bible club. And it's very interesting because I was not raised in a home where we prayer or Bible reading or church, that was not a lifestyle for us. We would have pockets of time where my mother would be drawn to a different opportunity to fill the hole in her heart, but none of it ever lasted, nor was there any stable foundation of truth laid in my heart or life by her. So at 16, the Young Life leader, Steve, came to our high school and shared the gospel. And at that point, I accepted Christ into my heart as my Lord and Savior. And then in my early 20s, I continued to pursue him and be discipled and be baptized in all the things that we do as we continue to follow journey with Jesus.
Wow, I love that. In your book, you share that from the years of abuse that you suffered, that really also led you into bulimia, severe anxiety, deep depression. How did you overcome all of those significant things that stem from your trauma?
So, you know, the bulimia specifically, I started engaging in eating disorder behaviors when I was in seventh grade, and I contended and struggled with those until I was about 22 years old, and I was pregnant with my first child. I would say that one in particular, I overcame one choice at a time. I had a older woman, which is funny because she was in her 30s and now I'm in my 40s, but at that time I was in my 20s and she was in her 30s. So she was definitely the older woman who kind of mentored and discipled me. Thank you, Jesus, because I needed it bad. And I just remember her really sitting me down and looking at me eye to eye and saying, at some point you have to be accountable for what you put in your mouth. Mm-hmm. And you don't have the ability to change on your own. But if you will look to the Lord and ask for his help, he will help you because he loves you. And so with overcoming bulimia, honestly, it was the decision that I wanted to be better. And then it was choice by choice, meal by meal, bite by bite, deciding to walk in what I knew God would choose for me over what I would choose for myself. Mm-hmm. The anxiety and the depression, I believe it was through learning the truth of God's word, learning who he says I am as his daughter, as his chosen treasure, as his masterpiece, as the one he rejoices over with singing, as one who's been called to his purpose to bring him glory on this earth. And being willing to exchange the elements of that identity as a daughter of the King for the elements of identity that had been established in my heart through all of the years of abuse and neglect and abandonment and rejection that I had endured, where I had been told that I was trash, that there was no value to me except that which was what I was being used for, that I was stupid and ugly and worthless. And so, you know, I did not know when the people that were supposed to be speaking life and truth over me, when they were offering that to me and those seeds got planted into my heart, I didn't yet know how to guard my heart with all diligence. I didn't know that out of my heart flow the issues of life. And I didn't know that the truth of God's word said something different than what I was being offered by those that were lying to me. And so I had received them without even being aware that I had any ability to not receive them, to believe something different than what I was being offered. And so once I learned that there was something more and different, that there was a truth that was greater and higher than anything I had been given by anybody, on this earth, I began to make that great exchange. You know, I say that God has a better exchange policy than Walmart. He'll take anything back and he doesn't even need a receipt. He doesn't care when you got it or where you got it. But if you will take it and lay it down at his feet, he will take it from you and he will give you beauty for ashes. He will give you the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. And you know, that is what he did in my life as I yielded and submitted and surrendered all of the lies that did not line up with the truth of his word. Mm. He made that exchange and opened the eyes of my heart to see and understand who I was as his daughter, a daughter of the King.
Oh, I love that. And your answer may have already answered my next question with that, which was so good. I was going to ask you, how did you come to know your identity as your father's daughter? And you sort of already answered that, but I'll give you an opportunity to elaborate if you'd like.
Absolutely, because you know what? It's worth repeating. Yeah. The only way was through the knowledge of the truth of his word and the power of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling on the inside of me, opening the eyes of my heart to truly see and understand and comprehend who I was in Christ and through Christ and through what Christ had done on the cross for me as part of the inheritance of what he died to give me as a chosen daughter of God. But without the knowledge of the word, people can tell you all day long. People can tell you all day long, God loves you and he's for you and he forgives you. But unless you know for yourself what his word says, unless you're able to see and comprehend for yourself the truth that he has laid out in his word, then it just doesn't hold as much value. So the process was increased or sped up by the amount of time I spent hiding his word in my heart, allowing his word to be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, embracing the truths that he shared with me through his good word.
Yeah, I love that. So pivoting, that's the buzzword these days, pivoting to my next question, a little bit off, but not so much. You are a licensed trauma counselor. Why did you take that route? Why did you become a counselor?
Well, the honest answer would be because God told me to. Yeah. I felt led by God to become a counselor. I knew that I very much desired to, once I had been set free from things that I had been set free from and had been told by the world I would never be free. I was told by the world I would always struggle with depression, or I would always have an eating disorder, or that I would always struggle with a personality disorder, and that I couldn't heal or change those things, but I could learn to contend with them and apply healthy coping skills. Mm-hmm. And what I learned through the process of healing and transformation in my life was that I was set free and I'm not that person anymore. And the word says that all things are possible to him who believes. And so once I found freedom in a way that I knew the world could not offer me, my heart longed and desired to help other women learn and know that no matter what they had been through, no matter what had been done to them or what they had done or what they had been diagnosed with, because the truth that God laid forth to set us free, if we knew it, was available to them. And because God is no respecter of persons, the very same freedom that I had found, the very same ways I had been delivered and set free, that was available to everyone. And I just knew that God had chosen me to share those truths with others. And there was all of that. And then there was also the piece of, I felt very strongly that I was to homeschool my children when they were young. But at some point I knew God had called me into the workplace, into the marketplace. And there was nothing that I could imagine doing that would bring me more joy or satisfaction than really being able to minister life and truth into the hearts and lives of hurting and broken women. And so because of those things, I pursued my education and licensure to become a therapist.
Wonderful. I want to say yes and amen every time you're telling your story. You're teaching the word. I love that. So let's talk about your book, because he is good. God is so good, so faithful, and he loves us. Your book, the title is My Father's Daughter, hot off the press. Tell us about that.
Well, I knew many, many years ago that, you know, the word tells us that we hear his voice and the voice of a stranger we will not follow. And so in those years of healing and really a lot of laying on my face and crying out to him and learning through time with him and time in his word and time in worship, who he was and who he wanted to be for me and what he had called me to specifically. That's such an important piece for all of us, is the word in Jeremiah. It says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. And in Timothy, it tells us that even before the foundation of the world was established, he set out the things that he called us to walk in, that the good things that he had for us, and that we were equipped and anointed to do those very things. And so for many of us, for all of us, we're looking for, Lord, what is that thing? What is that thing that you've called me to? What is my place in partnering with you to accomplish your will here on this earth? Mm-hmm. And so one of the things he had revealed to me, and I guess the short answer again is because God told me to. That's really my answer to so many things, is I knew that God had placed in my heart, I actually probably have 6 different books that I know he has called me to write. And so this is just my first act of obedience, because, you know, everything I am, all that I have, all that I, my energy, my time, my talent, my resources, they all belong to him because I'm bought with a price. So I don't belong to myself. So my job is to seek him and to say, Father, what is it that you would have me do with all that I am for you today? And you know what? When we ask him that question, he is so faithful to answer. And so I wrote the book because he told me to, and it is one of many that he's called me to write. So I feel like he's done so much for me, loved me so well and been so faithful, that the only way that I am able to live in peace is to completely yield my life to him and say, Father, whatever you call me to, that is what I will do and where I will go.
Oh, that is wonderful. And the title again is My Father's Daughter. Give us a little glimpse. What will readers find inside the book?
So the entire title is My Father's Daughter, Embracing Your Identity as a Daughter of the King.
Yes.
That's kind of a little byline. And what I talk about is kind of what I've shared with you a little bit, which is as a result of the abuse and the neglect and the abandonment that I endured at the hands of those who were supposed to love me most, I was at one point in my life broken and wounded and a hot mess. And when I became pregnant with my first child, my daughter, and you see, I was told because of the extent of traumatic sexual abuse that I had endured that I would never have children, that the damage that had been done to me was extensive, and it would not be wise for me even to try to have children because it could put my life or the child's life at jeopardy. And yet I longed for a child, and I believed God for a child, and I conceived. And then I had a, oh my goodness moment. I don't know. You probably had an, oh my goodness moment where you pray for something and you're standing and believing for something, and then the Lord answers, and all of a sudden you have what you prayed for and it scares you. Mm-hmm. And when I knew that I was pregnant, I was so scared because I realized I had never had a good mama. And in fact, quite the opposite. And I never wanted a child to experience the kind of pain and suffering that I had experienced. And I questioned and doubted my own ability to be a good mama. And it was that drove me to the feet of Jesus to say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. Just like King Jehoshaphat. And that was the catalyst for me really seeking the Lord to start to take the steps to be something different than I was and to have something different than I had so that I could parent well. So it was my daughter that initially drove me to seek out my identity and the healing that I really longed for and desired. And then in my book, I outline 6 foundational, foundations, well, I don't want to say foundational platforms for who he revealed himself to be in my life that helped to replace what had been established in my heart. And so that I was loved, that I was forgiven, that I was chosen, that I was seen by God, that I was led by God, and that God indeed was the provider in my life that I needed him to be. And those, each of those different sections speak to a place that I had been mortally wounded by the people that failed to love me well, that were supposed to hope.
Well, I know my book is on its way. I got you sent me a digital copy, so I did skim through that, but I was like, I want to get this book in my hands and really highlight it and underline it and yes, devour it and all of that. And so I've ordered my book. You let me read the digital copy, like I said, and I skimmed through that, and I want to be able to have the book in my hands and highlight and underline and really soak it all up. So, and I heard you speak, so I knew enough about your story. So I can't wait for your book to come. But tell us how our listeners can pick up a copy. Now, the title of the book is My Father's Daughter, Embracing Your Identity as a Daughter of the King, which I love. I love the title. I know it's full of scripture and just how God healed you and that process that you went through. Where can we find a copy of the book?
So it's on Amazon. If you just type in Tanya Glansman and My Father's Daughter, it should come up very quickly. You can also go to jtvpress.com. That's my publisher, and they sell it directly. And they might even have free shipping going on right now, right at the beginning, kind of as the book launch. And then if anybody is interested in purchasing a signed copy, we sell copies. Just you can contact us through the email on our website, www.myfathersdaughter.com, and also on Facebook, My Father's Daughter. And if you reach out directly, then we will send you an invoice and send you a signed copy. And that can be special, especially I realized, my goodness, the other day that Christmas is only 4 months away. I was like, oh my gracious, I don't even want to think about that yet.
How can that be possible? But I guess you're right. Time marches on. And that's true. How I ordered my book through you, so I could get a signed copy. And I love the fact that throughout each chapter, you lay that foundation and build on what it truly means to be our father's daughter, and our identity. And that's something that so resonates with me. We'll put links up on our website to everything that you just mentioned, all the ways to get to find you. So for the show notes and the corresponding blog post for this episode of Orphans No More, which is episode 234, I believe, you'll be able to, we'll put all of those links to your website and your social media and all of that. And we are giving away a signed copy of your book. You're going to personally sign it to our winner. So we are going to go to Facebook Live and for a chance to win a signed copy of My Father's Daughter. Tanya's going to sign it and send it to you herself, but stay tuned to Facebook, and I'm going to do Facebook Live on the day this podcast goes live so you can win a copy of the book. So Tanya, before we wrap up, I really just want to give you an opportunity to share your heart. What is on your heart for women, for our listeners? What would you say to them today?
You know, for all women, the heartbeat of God on the inside of me would want them to know that you are fully seen, fully known, and fully loved, and that you were created, you were crafted beautifully by the one who loves you most and knows you deepest from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And there's nothing that you've done or that you could ever do or that has been done to you that negates the never-changing, unfathomable love of the Father for you. Mm-hmm. And then I know specifically you shared with me that a lot of parents listen to your podcast. And I guess what I would want them to know is, you know, no matter what you see, no matter what you're experiencing in the unloveliness of the lives of the children that God has called you to love, to be encouraged, because for so many years, I was so unlovely because of the things that had happened to me and the unhealed places. And yet, because of the adults in my life that saw through the trash to the treasure within me, that saw me with, I say, God eyeballs, and saw the potential that he had created me for instead of the poor choices that I was choosing to engage in as a result of the pain that I was suffering from. It was those people that shined his love into my life and helped me to have hope that I could be loved. Mm. And so just to never underestimate the impact you can make on the heart and the life of the children that God has entrusted you to love. Because one day they may be doing exactly what I'm doing or something even more beautiful, and they will know in their hearts it's because of the foundation of love that they experienced at your hands that made the difference in their life, that helped them to know that if this person can love me, then that must mean God can love me too.
Yeah. God makes all things new.
Yes.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah. In addition to your book, I want our listeners to know you have a website, you have a YouTube channel, a podcast, your social
Instagram,
media, and you're Twitter,
all the things.
All the things, you have them. So where can we find all the things?
Google. Ask the Google. you know, My Father's Daughter on Instagram, My Father's Daughter on Twitter, www.myfathersdaughter.com is our website, and My Father's Daughter on Facebook. And then and My Father's Daughter podcast. So really there's a theme, and it once you get it, once you can't lose.
Yeah. My Father's Daughter. That's right. And that's the name of your podcast. I just became a follower. Love it. And I mean, your story, so much of what you shared about how you found your healing just resonates with me, because in my book, which I'm in the process, I think my listeners are probably getting tired of hearing this, but as you know, as an author, it takes forever to pull that book. I talk about in the last half of my book about how, you know, I came to understand that I'm my father's daughter through really watching in the experience of adopting my children and how God adopted me. And just, you know, it took me back to my childhood and lies that I believed about myself and how I came to understand how God loves me and all those things that he says about me that I,
yeah.
He said that great exchange. I choose to exchange the lies for the truth of God. So your story is a story of healing and redemption. And I'm just so grateful that you shared it with us today. And we're going to, again, put all of the links to everything in our show notes so our listeners can find you super easily. Tanya Glansman, My Father's Daughter, thank you so much for being transparent and for sharing your story. You give us hope for the journey, hope to know that we are a daughter of the King. We are children of God, and we can live in our full God-given identity as our father's daughter. So thank you so much, Tanya, for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Sandra.
So before we end, I'd like to share a little ministry update with you all. Justice for Orphans implemented Care Portal, which if you're a regular listener, this is going to, you probably, hope you're not getting tired of hearing it because we're just celebrating all the time. We implemented Care Portal in the Capital Region here in upstate New York about 2 years ago. So far in just two counties, Albany and Schenectady County, and through Care Portal, our participating churches have served nearly 1,000 children. We're going to go all over social media to celebrate when we cross over to exactly 1,000 children, but we're not that far away. I think we're about 14 kids away. So by the end of August, we'll be able to safely say 1,000 children. And we've helped many of those children so that they did not have to enter foster care. Presently, if you were to go online to careportal.org and punch in Albany and Schenectady and check out what's going on in those counties. There are 29 open requests in the system between the two counties. So that means there's 29 requests in there. Our participating churches get emailed those requests, so they have the opportunity to meet needs if they so choose. And many of them do. But you know what? We could use more churches throughout the Capital Region to partner with us to meet needs through Care Portal. So especially if your church is in Albany or Schenectady County, sign up. We need you to sign up to be part of our Care Portal network. You can contact me through the website or just enroll your church. Super simple. Go to careportal.org for that. You can get there through our JFO website as well, but go right to careportal.org and it's really easy. In addition to growing our network of churches, we have a goal to expand Care Portal into all 11 Capital Region counties. But to do that, we need some financial support. Due to COVID-19, like all nonprofits, we're not profits, we are a nonprofit. We've had to pivot in our fundraising effort. So instead of our annual fundraising banquet, we're going to be hosting a virtual event. The event is going to be live on Thursday, September 17th from, I believe it's 6:30 to 8 p.m. And it's going to remain accessible. It's going to continue to live out there in cyberspace until midnight Sunday, the 20th of September. Our theme is there's no place like home, because we believe every child deserves a loving family and a safe home, be it with their biological parents, a kinship placement with a relative, or through foster care or adoption when that's necessary. And our Care Portal platform actually helps make that happen. We can stabilize families so kids can stay with their bio family. We can help a kinship family, a foster family. So we're really all about stabilizing and making a safe place for children. And you can help us meet the needs of more children in a few different ways. I'm going to list them, and then I'll break it down a little bit so you can have a better understanding. So the first thing you can do is become a sponsor of our There's No Place Like Home virtual event. The second way is by watching the virtual fundraiser online when it's up there. And the third way is by hosting a watch party. So now, to become a sponsor of our 2020 There's No Place Like Home event, we're looking for businesses, churches, or even individuals who would donate prior to the event. And there's three levels to give at. So the silver sponsorship is $250. Gold sponsorship is $500. And ruby slipper is $1,000. And what we do is when we get a sponsor, we acknowledge them in the podcast, we acknowledge them and thank them on our social media, and they're in our newsletter and they're up on our website. And so they get mentioned several times just for sponsoring. And I'm going to mention some of those sponsors right now. So we want to give a big shout out and thank you to Automatic Equipment Services of Ravenna, New York. They are a Ruby sponsor. Crossroads Ford, also of Ravenna, is a silver sponsor. J. Luke Construction from Schenectady is a gold sponsor. And Rock Solid Church in Hudson, New York is a ruby sponsor. So we want to thank all of them, but we also want to invite you to join our sponsorship team and help us to cover all of our expenses for putting on this virtual event. Now, the second way you can help is to watch the 90-minute virtual fundraiser on Facebook, YouTube, or right on our website. Again, the live version of this virtual event is Thursday, September 17th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. It will all be recorded, and then you can also watch it anytime after 8 p.m. on Thursday night through midnight on Sunday night, the 20th. And we want you to share it. Please, please share it on your social media when you start seeing us promote that. You can watch it. And of course, if you feel so led, make a donation. Now, the other way, and we're really excited about this because we kind of came up with this idea and thought it was fun, is to host a watch party. And we have a information on our website, justicefororphansny.org. Just go there and click events and you can learn about the virtual event. And the virtual event is going to include some live fun stuff where you're hearing from our team. You're hearing some testimonies. There's some pre-recorded video parts to that. You're going to get to hear from our hysterically funny comedians that presented on our comedy night a couple weeks ago. So it's going to be fun and it's going to be informative and it's going to be an opportunity for you to help us invest into the lives of more children. So if you have a heart for kids, if you know folks who have a heart for kids, you may want to host a watch party. And that's basically inviting your friends and family to your home. We've got a couple of churches that have signed up to host the watch party. So they're going to put that on the big screen at their church. You can serve some coffee and dessert. You can have pizza. You can have brunch, whatever you want to do, depending and whether you're watching it live on Thursday night, or you invite folks over to your house on Friday night or Saturday morning for brunch or Sunday after church, or whenever you want to fit it in there between the 17th and the 20th, you would gather together, kind of like that idea of a, you know, we used to do Tupperware parties and Pampered Chef parties and things like that. You would gather like that. You'd have some refreshments and you would watch the 90-minute event together. And then everybody would have an opportunity to give afterwards. Every watch party host receives a free t-shirt, which we have branded these beautiful, There's No Place Like Home t-shirts. So they're going to get a t-shirt, but watch party hosts also get a kit. And inside the watch party kit, there are some postcard invitations that you can hand out or mail out to those you want to invite to your house for the event. There are some specialty coffee, some candy, some brochures, some response cards, pens, and other goodies. We've got some raffle tickets in there because we're going to be doing some giveaways throughout the event so that we're going to be giving away some other prizes. So all of that fun stuff happens and the watch party host gets a kit filled with all of these fun things and you simply watch the event together. People are going to be asked, you can give by texting, by going online, or if you have people at your house and they're at the watch party and they want to write out a check, there's going to be pledge cards and envelopes and all those kind of things included right in there. So again, you can learn more about the event and the watch party and how to be a host at our website, justicefororphansny.org, and then just click on events. We're so excited to have you be part of our team. So please, please pray about what the Lord would have you to do to help us partner together to care for more kids in crisis. So again, I want to thank you for listening today. I hope you were encouraged by Tanya Glansman's story. She has an incredible story. Don't forget to check out my Facebook Live, which should be live if you're listening to this on the same day the podcast airs. I'm going to go live on Monday, the 17th of August, and you're going to have an opportunity to win Tanya's book by commenting, sharing, and or liking my Facebook Live post about the book giveaway. And then we'll do a drawing. And on Tuesday, the 18th, we will give away, we'll pick a name. I'll go Facebook Live and pick a name. And then Tanya will be mailing you a signed copy of her book, My Father's Daughter, which is just, I love the full name of her book. Let me see my notes because I didn't have it right. My Father's Daughter, Embracing Your Identity as a Daughter of the King. Love it. Love it. I can't wait. Mine's supposed to be coming in the mail today. So I'm going to get to read the whole thing that way. Incredible story. So I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to win that book as well, or you can go online and order a copy yourself. Thank you again for listening to this episode of Orphans No More, episode 234. If you were inspired by today's show, please subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, and please share it with your friends on your social media. The more you share it, the more you like it, and the more you comment, the more people it is reached. And that's what we want to do. We want to reach and touch and inspire more folks. And of course, let us know. We love hearing from our listeners. Contact us at justicefororphansny.org. Email me at sandraflack@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at Justice for Orphans. Stay tuned to this podcast and social media for the release of my book, Orphans No More, A Journey Back to the Father. And I just found out that my Focus on the Family article is going to be published the end of August, August 31st. So you can go online to Focus on the Family and find my article there. Thanks again for listening, and I look forward to being with you next time on Orphans No More.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard, and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.